If you make that little oof noise every time you stand up, yeah, that's your knees talking. Go see Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
I always appreciate the opportunity to talk with Mayor Brandon Johnson of Chicago. Of course, Chicago's Mayor Brandon Johnson. And I guess, Mayor, I've got to start off with the news of the day, and that is the Chicago Bears. Are we giving up hope? I sure hope not.
No, we shouldn't. You know, my position has been steady and consistent over these last couple of years that the best location for the Bears to play is on the lakefront. It's the top tourist destination in the entire state of Illinois, as Chicago is the economic engine for the state and, quite frankly, for the region. And really, we have made our mark globally. That the Bears have, you know, made their intentions clear initially that they wanted to be in Chicago. And, you know, the recent announcement is not surprising, right? But, you know, we saw in their official statement as well that, you know, it doesn't mean that what they are, you know, suggesting now is an absolute done deal. And so we're going to continue to make the case for the people of Chicago. I believe the best experience for a Bears fan is to watch our Bears play on the lakefront. And again, I'm going to continue to fight and advocate on behalf of the residents of the city.
Didn't the Bears previously say, we are going to play in Arlington Heights, and now they are saying we are going to play in Indiana? Is this why this is in part not a done deal? And do you think they're just, for lack of a better way of saying it, playing everyone for the best deal they can get?
You know, I mean, I can't speak for their motivations. I can only speak, you know, to mine. And we are the only viable location for a publicly owned stadium that the taxpayers would not be on the hook for. As you know, the Bears made a commitment to essentially investing 72% of the overall cost of the stadium to be built in Chicago. The other portion of the stadium would be built through ISFA, which is the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority. This configuration was established 40 years ago by Mayor Harold Washington to essentially build stadiums and leveraging the hotel tax, right? So essentially, the Bears were prepared to pay 72% of this for the stadium cost, of which the other portion of the cost would be picked up by visitors. And all in all, the taxpayers, the public, would actually own the stadium. There's no viable proposal anywhere else outside of the city of Chicago where the public would own the stadium and that the Bears and visitors would ultimately pay for.
All right. So the bottom line is, Mayor, you are still going after the Chicago Bears?
Listen, you know, here's what we should know as Bears fans. It's not over until it is. And so, you know, I'm going to continue to, you know, call plays and really work to bring people together. My door has always remained open. I'm prepared to have conversations with the Bears, with the governor, his office, with the General Assembly, both the Senate and the House, and really the community as a whole. The one thing that I think is just an important note, there's no environmental study anywhere else. There's no traffic study anywhere else. There's literally no plan anywhere else outside of the plan that we have here in the city of Chicago, of which through that plan, 24,000 jobs for Chicagoans, 43,000 jobs for the region, $8 billion of overall economic impact for the entire region. I mean, you know, look, we've demonstrated in Chicago that we can build. We are building a football stadium where our soccer team will play. You know, we're building outside of the 1901 project, outside of the United Center, where we're building affordable homes. We just built, broke ground on a brand new hospital in the south side of Chicago. That hasn't happened in over 100 years. Our airport is the busiest in the world. We had more visitors come to downtown Chicago last year than any other time in the history of our city. And by the way, we experienced a 60-year low in homicides, right? So as I work to build the safest, most affordable big city in America and create economic development all over the city for good paying jobs and sports and entertainment to move our revenue so that we can make the necessary investments to build communities. Yes, I'm going to continue to fight to ensure that the residents of Chicago receive all of the benefits to what this city is bringing to the rest of the globe.
So the answer to that is you're calling an audible if you need to, I guess. Now.
Listen, as I was about to say, yeah, and then if we have to have a hurry-up offense, a two-minute drill, we'll be ready for that as well.
All right. I do want to ask you, you know, you mentioned all this development that's going on and how true it is. And you know what people are not talking about? I never read about this. On the southeast side of Chicago, it is going to be a tech hub, correct?
Yep. That's exactly right. The PsiQuantum project that we were able to partner with the state, the county, we're talking about potentially $20 billion of economic impact in a region that had been disinvested in or ignored for over 30 years once the steel mills closed. And so to the point of the hospital, that's that same region on the southeast side of Chicago. So we have the PsiQuantum campus, the first of its kind in the entire United States of America. There's only one other site in the world where quantum computing is even being considered, not alone being built. And so this driver of new technology, as you said, as a tech hub, is going to open up the pathway for multiple industries, right? And whether it's through healthcare, whether it's through, you know, green technology, you know, whether it's through, you know, infrastructure, food, cultural arts, entertainment, all of that will be attracted because we are finally making investments in a part of a city that unfortunately had been ignored prior to me becoming mayor.
Yep. All right. I want to talk to you about meeting the Pope and also the so-called teen takeovers. Mayor, we will do that right after we come back on WGN. It is Mayor Brandon Johnson, who I believe, I'm guessing at this point, no jet lag anymore, Mayor?
No, not at all. Fully rested and definitely energized as we, you know, move into the summer months. And as you know, summertime shy. There's no place like it on the planet.
All right. I want to talk about things going on here in the summertime in a moment. But first, all right, you get to meet the Pope. Take us to the Vatican. And when you meet the Pope, what do you say? I mean, this guy's a Chicagoan. Do you say, how you doing, bud? I mean, Mr. Pope. I mean, what do you say to the Pope when you meet him? Did you kiss his ring? Did he hug you? Tell me. I want to know.
Yeah, well, first of all, let me just say it was just a remarkable experience. I was deeply honored and humbled to be in the presence of His Holiness, the Chicagoan Pope Leo XIV. And, you know, all that you would imagine at the Vatican, that's exactly what it looks like. I mean, it's just ornate. It's grand. The doors are the size of, you know, multiple Wimbys. I mean, 14, 20 feet. I mean, the incredible art, the history and the legacy that's there. And when I walked into, you know, his chamber or his sacred, you know, room and space, you know, you saw a humble Chicagoan. I mean, honestly, he extended his hand and he said it was a pleasure to be an acquaintance. And then, like a true Chicagoan, he said, so what's going on in the city? How is Chicago? You know, he wanted to know the who's who. But he also expressed a tremendous amount of concern, right, because of what we've experienced since Donald Trump has taken the reins of the federal government, and wanted to know how we were handling the presence of ICE and, you know, how we were protecting the most vulnerable. Of course, he said he had read somewhere that I was a Cubs fan, which I confirmed that. And I told him I had, we had a bunch of gifts for him, of which one of those gifts would be a hat and a jersey from our Cubs. And he said, you know, you just have to know that I'm not going to wear that hat. You know that, right? So, as a true Chicagoan, a Pope, but he is truly a Southsider, and he is most definitely proud to claim the Sox as his team.
How long did you talk to him for, one-on-one, or was it one-on-one ever?
Yeah, it was one-on-one, probably a good 15, 20 minutes or so. We spent an entire hour together, if you include the delegation. And let me just say, Chicago really showed up. The business community, civic community, the faith community, multiple faiths were represented from our, you know, Protestant to Catholic to our Jewish siblings. We had elected leaders, labor leaders there, community leaders, all representing the soul of Chicago. And so, you know, between my 15 to 20 minutes that I had a chance to interact with him one-on-one and just share with him the work that we're doing in Chicago, how we're protecting the city, we spent another, you know, again, 35 to 40 minutes as a group just, you know, expressing our appreciation and love for him and his courage, right? Because his position, quite frankly, as the most recognizable faith leader on the globe, is powerful. And the fact that he has his roots in Chicago, I thought it was just so appropriate that he was able to make a strong statement apologizing for the role of the church in slavery, mm-hmm. which is very much aligned with the work that we're doing here, bringing equity and justice across our city.
Is he coming to Chicago? And if so, we do have a spare bedroom. I can give you my address.
Steve, you're the best, man. I did not get a chance to talk about, living corridors and accommodations, but I did make the request. Perhaps if I would have told him when I invited him to Chicago that Steve Dale would host him, he probably would have said yes on the spot. So, but I hope so. You know, look, I think what's happening around the globe is an absolute, it's just devastating. These endless wars, illegal tariffs, the division and the spite, right, that's being promulgated through like a real mean-spirit approach towards governance. And I believe that the world could benefit from a uniting voice like Pope Leo XIV. In fact, that was his charge to us before we departed his presence. You know, is that his pulpit and my pen, as I've continued to say, coming together to protect all of humanity and to make sure that democracy prevails.
All right. So here's the big challenge. I only have 3 minutes here, but I do want to talk about these so-called teen takeovers. And the question I have for you is, why can't we hold parents or guardians responsible if they are under 18? I know I've talked to several alders about it. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, they agree with that. And there I am going up Lakeshore Drive, and I know all these, and John Williams here has talked about it, all these exits are closed because they are worried. They heard somewhere, and it's good that you're being proactive about it, but now you're preventing good people from just having fun on the lakefront or wherever. It's not, it's other neighborhoods as well. So can you comment on all that and quickly?
Yeah, no, look, Steve, this is a real challenge, right? You know, I've said before, these gatherings can be dangerous, and we've seen reckless and illegal behavior. We've made multiple arrests. You know, this approach really is going to require all of us coming together. And to your point, it's happening all over the country, right? I mean, we saw it in suburban DuPage, Cook County, right? We're seeing it in other major cities. We're seeing it, you know, in places like London. And so I've said repeatedly, we have to hold people accountable, but we also have to create opportunities for people, even after multiple arrests, and holding folks accountable. It did not necessarily prevent folks from coming out again the very next day. Now, we're able to prevent the vast majority of these from happening. One of the things that I just initiated this week is yet another opportunity for young people to have safe spaces so that we don't cut off opportunities for people who are living and enjoying the city responsibly. You know, if you're between the ages of 12 and 18, the YMCA, in partnership with my administration, have made their spaces available for our teenagers for free. So free YMCA memberships all over the city of Chicago starting Monday, June 8th, and it's going to run through August before the, you know, school starts. And again, we've activated many organizations all over the city of Chicago to create safe spaces. So whether it's, you know, youth guidance, for instance, is a good example, the People for Community Recovery, Increasing the Peace, Black Men United, Build, Inc., St. Sabina, of course, on the south side, and shout out to Father Michael Flager for the work that's being done to keep people safe. But yes, you know, it's going to take all of us. Adults have to know where their children are. Community organizations, business leaders
but
are filling
in. But the thing, the mayor, excuse me, we're just running out of time here, but adults always don't know, and that's part of the problem. Why can't we hold them responsible?
We do. There's laws on the books where if an adult is negligible, they can be held accountable. Now, as far as, you know, stricter laws, I can say this. We've done that before. We did that in the 90s, if you recall, and we had more people incarcerated than anywhere else. In fact, we still have more people incarcerated, more fines and fees that we administer when people break the law. And that alone does not necessarily change, you know, behavior. But we have to continue to engage people. And again, you know, some of the arrests that are happening are with individuals over the age of 18, right? In fact, the last time this happened, the vast majority of those who were arrested were not arrested because they were underage, you know. So it's a both and approach. We have to give, you know, true parameters around what we expect as a city, and we have to hold people accountable when they work outside or behave destructively, and we have to create opportunities for folks, and we're going to continue to do that. It's a both and approach. Our parents, adults, mentors, business leaders, faith leaders, all of us have to come together to deal with this national crisis where young people, you know, feel motivated and charged, you know, to be in spaces that are not always safe for them.
Okay. Maria Pappas, Mike Quigley, Joe Holberg, I have no idea who that is, some business executive dude, Susana Mendoza, the most recent, maybe Alexi Janulius. Are you on that list, Mayor?
Well, I don't know if that's a nice or naughty list. You know, I can tell you this, you know, I'm focused on running the city. That's what my focus has been, building the safest, most affordable big city in America. Again, Steve, you know, there's no mayor in modern history that can say that they've overseen the city at a time where there's more economic development for small businesses, large scale businesses that are happening at a time in which violence is at an all-time low.
All right, we're I'm cutting
to be
I'm,
done, yep. But I'm going to focus on building the safest, most affordable big city in America.
Cutting you off only because I know you also have to go. One more request, and it's a simple one. When the Pope gets here, please do as Bob Surratt said, WGN swag. That's what the Pope needs. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. You're welcome. You can count on that.
All right. Always good to talk to you, Mayor.
Likewise. Thank you, Steve.